Welcome to Blind Abilities. I'm Jeff Thompson, and today we're in Roseville, Minnesota, where State Services for the Blind brought students, families, and volunteers together at every meal. For some children, breakfast and lunch at school aren't just conveniences. They're an important part of where their meals come from. But Friday afternoon begins a gap. Saturday and Sunday don't come with a school breakfast or school lunch. That's the gap that every meal is trying to fill. Every meal intentionally puts the food bags into students' existing backpack rather than giving them a separate backpack, helping make the program more discreet.
Thank you all for taking time out of the week. My name is Liam, and I'm the volunteer coordinator at Every Meal. I am merely one of 28 staff members that we have at this organization. Now, in just a moment, we'll be in assembly lines, so very much a teamwork makes the dream work situation. The first person, who is the bag opener, you're important because you're setting the cadence for your line. You can also place the first item into the bag if you would like to do that. But notice there's items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 going into the bag. The resource card also gets one of these going in there. And this is important because this is able to be accessed in English, Spanish, Hmong, and Somali. So we get feedback right from our families that we review on a quarterly basis to influence our programming. And then tying the bag is as if you're starting to tie your shoes, so that initial knot as you're getting going there. If you are putting bags in the boxes for the first time, you can look like...
With the instructions out of the way, it was time to get to work. We headed towards the packing area, and everybody washed their hands.
Thanks for coming.
And then we divided into assembly lines.
Have any of you been here before?
I have.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, everyone sort of starts out a little clustered to the right, when actually we need more hands down here. In fact, two big jobs down here is one person...
As the lines fired up, so did the volunteers restocking all the supplies. Fork trucks picked up filled flats and moved them along. It was basically nonstop for the next hour and a half. And our assembly line was no different than the rest. We are all volunteers with a common cause. Conversations flowed, laughter was heard, and celebrations when another flat was filled.
Tell me your name, my friend. There you go. And then Shane, what you'll do, you want to add your can. Great. Yep, the first two items have been in there, and you'll do this item, okay?
One entire pack and line included SSB pre-ed students with transition coordinator Shane DeSantis there as well. Ava had family there, parents, grandparents, and her brother. Other volunteers filled the other assembly lines and represented different organizations or simply showed up because they volunteered before and wanted to help again.
And then, do you notice how the rice is in there on top of the can? Do a single knot with the bag. Tie a single knot.
My job wasn't complicated. As a bag comes sliding towards me, I grab a can, put it in the bag. Grab another, put it in the bag, and then move the bag down the line. And then do it again, and again, and again. And that is what the process was. Volunteers form assembly lines and fill bags with shelf-stable fruits, vegetables, proteins, and grains. By the time we finished, this group had packed more than 15,000 meals. Yeah, 15,000 meals.
I thought it was awesome. I've done this before, but I think this is probably the most productive one I've been a part of, actually. Even with like a littler party, I think we did great.
I really liked it. I did Feed My Starving Children in the past. This is much better. Much better.
Would you do it again?
Oh yeah, I'd definitely do it again.
I heard from a couple of people say that it was more accessible than like some of the other like food packing places they've gone to, because it's just, I mean, picking things up and doing things manually rather than having to like visually measure things.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was pretty accessible.
Some parts we had to stop because we were going too fast.
Did you make the person behind you work harder, or did they make you work harder?
I didn't really notice anything.
Careful what you say. I was the person behind you. I'm just kidding.
A little competition going on.
It's fun though because it's so local. I mean, like, you get to like very easily see the rewards of it because like it's rewarding because it's people that we could know that are getting these meals.
What did you think of the event?
Pretty cool. I liked it. It was my first event, so it was pretty cool.
It's kind of nice to have some of those, like, just assembly line type tasks because we get so used to them, and then it kind of feels like something easy we can do that does so much. It's fun to talk to, like, new people, too.
Yeah.
It's like a good little social experiment to see why people are here and what they're doing here and what their why is.
I thought this was way cool. I mean, we made such a big impact in the little amount of time that we came and volunteered. Seeing the total of over 15,000 meals that we helped out in just a short amount of time. Super rewarding. Glad the students came out and had some fun as well and gave back to our community. We'll definitely be back.
So, Elam, you went from education into nonprofit at every meal. What do you think?
I love it. I mean, the fact that I still get to use my teaching skills in different ways is fantastic. I attribute leading the food backpacking events. It feels very similar to directing a band. That's what I came from, is the instrumental music classroom of directing concert bands. And so in that space, you know, you've got multiple students playing different instruments, so playing different roles, but as part of a larger, bigger picture. It feels very much the same with these events as well. So, and namely, the fact that our mission is serving a basic need, such as food insecurity, feels great too, because that was something that I experienced when I was teaching, is I would hear, kind of through the woodwork sometimes, but then directly from students too, some of the struggles that they faced, whether it was at school or at home, and some of those things ended up being basic needs like food, water, shelter. And so having seen some students suffering when I was a teacher, and then now being able to serve so many through my position here at Every Meal, you know, coordinating volunteers, is wonderful.
It's real touching to come here and see all the people working as hard as they work.
Right, yeah. It feels so organic. I mean, every volunteer that comes in here, you know, we have got a great orientation and way in which we get volunteers started, but, you know, from there, a lot of it's we let them run. We've got some support from the ambassadors, but it always feels like these volunteers just take to the experience like a fish to water.
It's really awesome because it's very accessible. The people there are very aware of accessibility needs, and I think it's a great starting opportunity for our organization to kind of get into like some volunteer experiences, because as a blind person, we know that being helpful and accessible in a community that isn't always providing us with opportunities to help is really amazing, and getting to do something like this is extremely rewarding, and it's great for building success in the future, and it's a great experience because we're able to do some things that we wouldn't really do very much. We might not really do a lot with packing food or with doing volunteer opportunities in the community. And since this is going to be a good starting place, we're hoping to do some more of that in the future, just to kind of help students get out of their comfort zones and learn some living skills while also having the reward of helping other people. Yeah, it's very personal and it's a really great organization.
Be sure to check out and subscribe to the Spectacle newsletter and learn about all the upcoming events and opportunities. And be sure to check out the numerous podcasts on the News for Teens page. And you'll find the links right in the show notes. And if you want to volunteer or support Every Meal, check them out on the web, everymeal.org. To find out more about all the programs at State Services for the Blind, contact shane.desantis@state.mn.us. That's shane.desantis@state.mn.us. Be sure to contact your State Services for the Blind, your Voc Rehab, and find out what they can do for you. We're talking about turning a passion into a career. Joining us is Dawson Haag, a sports management student at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, who's building real-world experience through internships with collegiate and professional baseball organizations. We'll talk about how he found these opportunities, what it's really like working behind the scenes at the ballpark, how State Services for the Blind helped along the way, and what advice he has for other students looking toward internships and careers. Dawson, welcome to Blind Abilities.
Thanks for having me on.
You're spending another summer working in baseball, and this time you're with another uniquely named organization. Tell us about the team you're with this season.
The hat I'm wearing right now is the softball team, the Minot Honeybees. The baseball team is the Minot Hot Tots. They are both in the Northwoods League. The Northwoods League is a summer collegiate league for summer ball that college students who probably didn't get a lot of playing time for the college they play for.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a league that's able to hone their craft and just get better at the sport.
That's a pretty unique league and a great opportunity for college athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Last summer, you were with another organization, right?
Yep. I was with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, who are the high A affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is located in Appleton, Wisconsin.
That's quite a jump into professional baseball. Very nice. Before we talk about finding these internships, tell us a little bit about what you're studying, what's your major, and the university you're attending.
My major is sport management. I am also going for a business administration minor, as well as a competitive coaching athletics minor.
And where's that?
It is at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse.
That seems like a natural fit for someone that's interested in sports. So how did you actually find these internship opportunities? Where did that process begin?
My professors had told me about this website called Teamwork Online that has a bunch of job listings or internships for sports, ranging from baseball to like working in MLS or like MMA, doing operations or something like that.
Walk us through what your day looks like. What's your responsibilities with the Hot Tots organization?
Presently, it is working with other interns and my supervisor to have food and beverage ready for the fans in attendance and making sure that their experience is the best experience at a baseball game that they can get.
How does this compare with your internship last summer? What kind of responsibilities did you have with the Timber Rattlers?
For stadium operations in Appleton, Wisconsin, it was the upkeep of the stadium, whether that's like getting the bathrooms clean and ready or getting the counters wiped off, as well as basically parking, showing people where they need to park when they come to the game. Other things were opening the bullpen door was one of the in-game tasks we could have done. Running the pitch clock was another one.
Oh, cool.
One of the interns was able to work the scoreboard for some of the games. So, I mean, there's a lot that you can do. One of the things we had to do was concessions during the Wisconsin State baseball tournament for high school.
Oh, wow. That's a lot more variety than a lot of people probably realize goes into game day operations. It sounds like those internships gave you experience with just about every part of running the ballpark. Let's back up a little bit and talk about how you got the UW lacrosse in the first place.
The choices I had were, I mean, it's a funny story, and I keep telling people, like, sport management, at least when I started looking at colleges, wasn't my first choice. At first, I wanted to do video game design, so my first choice was Dakota State University. But then when COVID hit and we didn't have sports going on, that's when I realized that I couldn't live without sports. I had managed football, wrestling, and baseball in high school. So I had always been around sports ever since I was little. And then when COVID hit and sports wasn't there, I felt like I was missing a key part of not just myself, but someone that I knew would keep my future going. So after I had changed my idea from video game design to sport management, I looked at Winona State, lacrosse, Western Technical College, which is also in lacrosse, and Viterbo. And lacrosse was my first choice. I had family that went to lacrosse, and I also had my high school counselor also go to lacrosse. So there was pretty good connections to getting into lacrosse. Unfortunately for me, I didn't get into lacrosse right away. I got waitlisted, but then later on, I ended up getting in. I believe SSB had a little bit of help within that to get me in. So I ended up getting into lacrosse, and freshman year was entertaining. I mean, SSB helped with like some of the visual stuff, like telling me, oh, you should go to the Disability Resource Center, which is what it's called now. Like, go there, get accommodations, and then I would be taking my exams in there instead of in the classroom. The thing you can do if you go to, like, whatever college's Disability Resource Center, you can get accommodations such as extra time, using some sort of assistive technology. My freshman and sophomore year, I used a recording pen that I could have it recording, but also like write down class notes. Like it was supposed to, like after you were done with class and you replayed it, it was supposed to transcribe it onto a special piece of notebook paper.
These internships are a big commitment. How do you balance them with your coursework and still stay on track with your graduation?
At least with the sports internships, It's been in the summer, so I wasn't taking any classes last summer, and I could just focus on the internship. This summer, I'm taking one class, but it is a class where I'm just supposed to be doing it for field experience. So it's like you have to record X amount of hours, record like what you did, how it connected to these skills. And it shows like you might need to work on this part of your like mentality, work ethic, or just like becoming a better person. And for this class, I only have to work on a few things. So most of the time I'm just focusing on the job, but in a week, the last section of the class opens up where I need to do a special project, which I'm currently working on, creating a standard of procedure for the sections I had worked at the stadium. Once I have that done and submitted, then I'll be done with the class.
For someone thinking about a sports internship, what kind of time commitment should they expect?
It depends on the internship itself. Like working in operations in sports, last summer we were pretty much the first ones in and the last ones to leave because we had to do a lot of prep before games. And this is the same one for this year too, where it's like we're the first ones at the ballpark and we have to prep all this stuff. And then we don't get out of the ballpark until like 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
Last summer, the latest we had to be at the ballpark was 1:30 in the morning after a game.
Oof-da.
So it really depends, but working in sports, you need to be willing to work long days, which is putting in 14, maybe 15 hours every day.
Wow. Those are some long days, but I imagine that's also where you gain the most experience. Looking ahead a few years, where would you like all this experience to lead?
It all depends on what I can get after I graduate, which I'll have to do another internship for college next summer before I'm officially done with college, unless I want to go back and do graduate school, which at this point in time, I don't see graduate school as being a benefit to me. I think if I find the right fit for a job, then just working towards that. As of right now, I would want to do stadium operations for a minor league team or like be an equipment manager. I had done that in high school, so that was something I felt like I could revert back to, and maybe I'd enjoy it working at a higher level with a little bit more responsibility.
Earlier, you mentioned state services for the blind played an important role during college. In what ways have they helped you reach these goals?
SSB has helped me with college expenses. They've helped me in the job search. They've helped me with writing a cover letter, helping me like adjust my resume to best suit what people would be looking for. And they've just all around helped me improve myself so I can make sure that my writing is clear for people to understand.
If another student is listening and thinking about pursuing an internship, what advice would you give them?
If they are considering getting into anything, at least my college has told me, make a LinkedIn profile, connect with people. They have a job tab in the app where you can look for jobs and internships. But if you're looking to go specifically into sports, my best advice would be create a Teamwork Online profile and then start applying to those. Another thing I think a lot of people have are just like looking on Indeed, or like family and friends have also helped get jobs for me. And it's been like, okay, here's a job I think you'd like. You should apply to it.
You talked about accommodations at school. What assistive technology do you rely on day to day?
Most of the time, the assistive technology I use is magnifiers just so I'd be able to read something, whether that's on a computer screen or a phone. I remember back to like my elementary days, there was this old like magnifier where you would put whatever reading material you were trying to read under the lens. It would show up on the bigger screen, and then you just have to slide it back and forth once you were done. In essence, it was like a typewriter, but you're not typing.
It's amazing how assistive technology has evolved, whether it's a CCTV, built-in magnification, or software on a computer. Today's technology gives students and professionals a lot more flexibility than even a few years ago. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with students who might be headed off to college?
I was going to say another thing, like just getting into the sports topics, starting my own club, it's like, that's one thing. If you see something that's not on the college campus you're on, sometimes you just have to go out and find someone to help you create it. I started the University of Wisconsin Lacrosse Cornhole Club second semester of my freshman year. I reached out to the American Cornhole League for help creating a constitution and bylaws.
Oh, wow.
I know it's not like vision stuff, but I think that would also help people that might be going into college and they're looking at all the clubs and organizations that the college has and they're like, oh, there's not something that I like on here, but I'd be willing to start a club. Honestly, just reach out to a bunch of people. I know I did, and I had a lot of interest. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start it, and now we'll see where we're going. The biggest thing that has happened with the club, we had a sponsorship deal that I made this past academic year. The American Cornhole League also hosted an event in La Crosse that I was able to participate and volunteer with. So you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes you just have to take the leap and create something, even though you won't know how it's going to go.
That's impressive. You didn't just join an organization. You built one from the ground up. I have to ask one purely personal question.
Yep.
Since you're the expert now, how far apart are regulation cornhole boards?
27 feet front end to front end.
Perfect. Now I can finally settle that debate. I've heard every distance imaginable, so it's nice to hear it from someone that's actually running a club.
Yep, no problem.
I really like that story because it shows that if the opportunity isn't already there, sometimes you can create it yourself.
Yep, there was an intramural league, and I played it the second and third quarter, and I was like, why isn't this a club that we can play year-round? Because cornhole is one of those sports you can play indoors or outdoors, so you can play it year-round. And then I started with one of my partners I had for intramurals. I was like, hey, would you want to be my vice president and help me with this? Luckily, they said yes. And so far, the rest is history. Hopefully, we keep growing.
Dawson, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you sharing your journey from discovering sports management to finding internships to navigating college with the support of State Services for the Blind and even creating your own campus organization. I think your story shows that opportunities don't always appear on their own. Sometimes you got to go looking for them, and sometimes you have to build them yourself. Thanks again for joining us on Blind Abilities, and we wish you continued success both at the ballpark and wherever your career takes you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, Jeff. It was great to share what I've experienced, and I hope for your listeners that the knowledge helps them in their journey. And I mean, if they have any more questions, you can have them reach out to me, and I'd be happy to answer.
We'd like to thank Dawson Haig for joining us on Blind Abilities and sharing his experiences with college, internships, and pursuing a career in sports management. Be sure to check out the show notes and check out the links mentioned in this episode. Be sure to check out and subscribe to the Spectacle newsletter and learn about all the upcoming events and opportunities. And be sure to check out the numerous podcasts on the News for Teens page. And you'll find the links right in the show notes. To find out more about all the programs at State Services for the Blind, contact shane.desantis@state.mn.us. That's shane.desantis@state.mn.us. Be sure to contact your State Services for the Blind, your Voc Rehab, and find out what they can do for you. Live, work, read, succeed.
When we share
what we see through each other's eyes,
we can then begin to bridge the gap
between the limited expectations
and the realities
of blind abilities.
And the realities of blind abilities.
Of blind abilities.